Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, glad to have you here.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Holy cow.
Sports Radio 610 presents former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley. It's Clint Sterner and the Show.
That's right. Clint Sterner is out today. He is dealing with some issues that many of you out there are dealing with due to, what have it, did it actually become a hurricane?
Yeah, Category 1.
Category 1, Hurricane Nicholas, not my son, but Hurricane Nicholas hit Clint, and he is dealing with those things, so he is out today, in for him. SportsRadio610.com zone, Brandon Scott's in
yes,
the
sir.
Building.
Yes, sir.
There he goes, rocking the Tupac shirt, and he went with the gold chain, huh?
Oh, I'm gold chain every day.
Are you a
day.
Gold chain guy?
Yeah, every day.
I
every
want
day
you
of
to
the
get
week.
A thick ass herringbone. That's the kind of gold chain that I respect.
It's key to be subtle with it. It's key to be subtle.
To be
with
subtle?
It.
No, yeah, hell no.
Especially when you like me, you balling on a budget.
I have been wanting a rope chain. This is a secret I've kept. I've been wanting a rope chain.
Hold on, so
really bad.
Really,
like a thick one.
And where are you gonna go with that?
Just
Mr. the late 30s, father of three.
Just out. Man, you ain't got to put my age out there like
I'm
that.
I'm just saying. You don't
would
make you feel
I
a little silly?
Get one, maybe it's midlife crisis-like, but I have been wanting a big-ass gold rope chain for quite some time.
Hey, I'm not going to lie to you, though. Whenever
my
I'm doing these,
buy it for me.
When I'm doing these post-game press conferences with the players, I always kind of look at my little gold chain and want to just tuck it
in. Yeah, you shouldn't even.
Tyrod Taylor comes in there with a nice chain. Justin Reed, Charles Minnehue's got a nice chain. I'm just kind of like, let me go ahead and tuck this.
My question is, Tyler, do you think Justin Britt ever comes in with that thick-ass gold chain?
He seems like he may.
He seems like he may. Listen, I'm going to say this, B.
He might not need it with the swag that he's going with without it.
I'm glad you brought up the swag. I'm glad you brought up the swag. He does seem like a guy that would wear a thick ass chain, maybe a herringbone. I'm not sure what Justin Britt. If we ever have him on, I'll see what he wears. But fellas, I came in here and you saw me, Tyler. I was really happy for the Texans. Really happy for Houston Texans fans. You know, even the ones who are kind of rooting against them as fans because they just want to continue to see this thing hit to the bottom because they feel like that's the best and fastest way to get to the top. But I was really happy for Texans fans and the Texans the way they blew out the Jags. And you know what? I'm like, all right, I look a little different about this team.
Yep.
Feel good about this team.
Yep, a little bounce.
Then Justin Britt spoke to you guys in the media yesterday. And I'm like, because I came and I'm like, Tyler, I'm like, what? We'll see what kind of game they give Cleveland. All right, I watched the Browns. They almost beat the Chiefs. See what kind of game they give them. Then Justin Britt, one of the leaders of the football team, has this number in the postgame.
Rex can get in there and get one if he wants. You know, the more scores, the better. But, you know, we wanted they brought in Mark. They brought in Phil, Rex. You could understand that it was going to be a running back by committee room. And so the first game, get him out there. He gets the score, he score. You know, whoever runs the ball, whoever's playing halfback, go ahead and get you a touchdown. They're just handing them out in Jacksonville. So, it felt good.
You don't like that?
Right,
you don't like the energy?
Listen. They just handed them out. So he didn't win Oprah, right? You get a touchdown. You get a touchdown. You get a touchdown. He listed off all of them. He just went and said they just handing them out.
Why they was handing them out like that? If Jacksonville doesn't want to get talked about like that, go ahead and play some defense. Stop somebody.
Here's my
thing. Don't give up 37 points to the Texans.
Here's my thing. And you two can come in and jump in like I'm sure you will. The text line listeners can jump in and just like I'm sure you will. Hold on, let's pump the brakes a little bit here. Hold on. Hold on, Justin. Let's chill just here a little bit. Listen, it was a great win, a big win. I was surprised they put up 37. Yep. Nowhere did I think that the team yesterday was going to have the most points ever scored in an opening game for the Texans. Didn't think that. And I don't care that it was against the Jaguars. But let's slow down here. He's one of the leaders of the team talking like that about, like, hey, Jacksonville's passing them out. Like, that to me is a big Vern comment. That feels like a strong Vernon Hargreaves type of comment.
Yeah.
And not something from Justin Britton. I just remember who you are. Now, listen, I don't know what they are. Hell, maybe they go 17-0. Because they're not going to go 17-0. But remember who you are. I just know, I feel like it's a little quick for the Texans and leaders of their team to be jumping out and just giving that type of shade to another team.
And see, I think that it's a difference between, or the disconnect between who they think they are and who the public thinks they are. Because you're talking about remember who they are through the lens of the rest of us who don't think that they're going to be very good.
So what the hell do you think they think they are?
I mean,
like
they told us.
To sprout out some like, delusions.
Have they not? No, it's not my delusion because I picked them to go 4-13. I'm talking about who they think they are. David Johnson told you last week, I think we're going to surprise a lot of people. I think we're going to be a really good team. Mark Ingram told you over the weekend, we don't care what y'all, we don't care about them people. He's talking about you, Show. He's talking about me. He's talking about all of us who live in what we think is the real world, knowing that the Texans aren't going to be very good this year. They don't view it that way. And then to the point of who Justin Britt is talking about, he's not talking about the whole league. He's not talking about Kansas City. Not even talking about Cleveland. He's not talking about Buffalo.
He's talking about Jacksonville.
He's talking about Jacksonville. And what's the response? What's the response that we're getting when we're pumping it up? We're saying, hey, this was a good win for the Texans. People are saying, it's just Jacksonville. Well, along the lines of that same energy, it was Jacksonville. That's who he's talking about. He's saying that they're giving them out. Maybe that's the team that people should be laughing at, looking at like, What do you expect of this team? Do you expect them to win more than one game?
So I'll throw it out. Here's you can text it 713-572-4610. Tyler and B, you think I'm making too much of it? I see that text roll through.
The first text we got.
I just feel like that level of swagger for a leader of the Houston Texans is a bit strong.
That is leadership.
That's something that's been missing, man. That's something this organization really needs. They need a little bit of what Popovich called a little nasty.
They need that. Can you play the back end of it? The back end part. That part where he goes, hell, Lennon, they're just if you need a touchdown, Jacksonville just handing them out. You don't think this? Let's hear this again.
So the first game, get him out there. He gets the score, he score. You know, whoever runs the ball, whoever's playing halfback, go ahead and get you a touchdown. They're just handing them out in Jacksonville. So
that didn't feel a little. That just feels a tad bit strong on the swagger. Just like remember who you are.
It sounds like a man speaking with his chest, chest.
You're coming off that O'Brien era, man, where he had these guys sealed up. He had them coached up. Wouldn't give them anything in the media. Keep your mouth shut. If you're going to say something, you say this. And now we're getting to see a little personality. We're getting to see a little aggressiveness, and I like it.
What was my man Wood Harris's character in Remember the Titans? Campbell?
Julius
Campbell. Hey, look, what did he tell you in that movie? What was one of his best lines from the movie? That attitude reflects leadership. Captain. And what do you want the attitude of your team to be? Do you want meek and mild? Do you want passive? You know, I feel like maybe you just didn't get enough taste of Nick Martin. Like, you didn't get enough doses. You got here in the tail end of
we take it out, Nick.
It's the tail end of the Nick Martin era that's got you maybe, I don't know, used to or expecting something different from your center. But I like this.
No, listen, I like swagger. I just like understanding swagger. There's a difference between swagger. And then there's a difference between, don't let this get away from you. Because to me, that when you say who that is, one of the leaders, when I have one of the leaders and I hear them sounding like that, after a game, one game against the Jags, a good win, but one game, you're coming out with that level of confidence from one of the leaders, like that sounds like a team that is a little out over their skis and is about to get the doors blown off of them by a good team in Cleveland next week. That's what it, like when I hear one of the leaders saying, just coming out and feeling that good to come right out and say that. Like, listen, I'm a cocky son of a, almost said it. I'm a cocky dude. I get it.
I'm humble.
Right? Jack, I'm still here. 40 yards. We could do this. I'm a cocky
Please.
Dude. I love it.
I don't see how that hasn't happened yet, by the way.
That just feels a little strong. And a deal of like you don't remember who you are, and I understand they may think they're better than we think they are, but damn, like you felt good enough to come right out and say that.
But let's focus on the facts though. Like, what exactly happened? They did dominate Jacksonville, and so if we're talking about remembering who we are or remembering who you are and acknowledging who you are, I think what they proved themselves to be was at the very least better than Jacksonville.
So you were sitting there. You were sitting there. I want to hear this line.
Yeah, no, he was.
You were
on
sitting
some of
right
these comments,
there.
He's talking
when
to
he,
me.
When yeah. you heard that roll up out of his mouth, what was your first? Your first thought was like, I like this. This is good leadership. What was your first thought?
My first thought was, I don't know Jack gonna like that. That was my first okay. thought. That was my first. I was like, oh, I wonder how Jack feels about this edginess. This edginess here. But look, for me, I want the team to have dogs. Like, I think that they can benefit from that. I'm looking at guys like Justin Britt, Pharaoh Brown,
Laramie
Mark
Tunsil.
Ingram, you know, guys that provide a little bit more of dog in them. Like, enough of this quiet. I think that wasn't that one of the criticisms of the Bill O'Brien era that they wanted too many tough, smart, dependable guys who weren't actually good at football.
Exactly.
Here you've got a dude that fits that tough, smart, dependable cliche, but it's also an upgrade from the position that you had the year before, and he's actually good at football. If you can back it up, generally speaking, show anybody that can back up the you know what that they talk, I'm cool with it. Like, don't go out there and wet the bed and be the one that's out here talking smack. But if you go out there and you dominate and you pushing guys around, you pancaking guys and things like that, the way that the Texans actually did dominate this team, I'm good with it as long as you can back it up.
Yeah, as we're talking, Justin Britt jumps out here and says he's out here just throwing. Like, this is pretty good shade from a football player to another team. I mean, this is a pretty strong shade.
And you know what you're forgetting, though? You know what you're forgetting, too? They got into a skirmish. Like, they did fight a little bit. One of them pushed him in the face. Like,
after. This is football.
Exactly. It's football. It's bravado. It's pushing and shoving. I mean, I like it. This is pretty consistent with what I feel like football players are supposed to be.
From the text line, show don't rip your panties. I like what he said. My panties are still intact. Thank you very much. I'm just saying, my thing is, that sounds like Vernon Hargrave. And look, Vern says it, I'd have laughed my ass off. Because hey. I know it don't mean nothing. It's Vern. That's just Vern. But one of the leaders of your team, to me, that to me is a bit of, ooh, chill out.
How is it not
chill
better,
out,
though?
Chill out a little bit. Don't tell me if it's not better or not. I'm just saying, as a leader, if that guy's one of the leaders of the team, if that's the mindset of the team, like, we got this kind of cockiness, like, woo, chill. Like, that feels like they just overstepped their bounds there.
You know what I'm saying? Is how is it not better coming from a leader of the team as opposed to Vern? Like, I think the feeling is that Vern. Well, look, what's the idea? That Vern wasn't very good last year, right? So you probably didn't want to hear that from him. If it's one of the leaders on the team, one of the better players on the team, that's the type of energy that you want. Like, I prefer it from Britt than Vern, and it's the most redeeming quality that Vern's got. It's the thing that I like the most about him.
I can't wait.
So I'm with it.
All right. But I love his. Vern's got a bit of delusion with his confidence. This was just interesting from Justin Britt. I felt really good about where they were. Now I feel like they may think they're a little bit better than maybe they are. All right, the Texans made a big move. Well, hell, maybe that's too much. The Texans made a move. I didn't just say big. I don't want to lie to you. They made a move
for a big
to
dude.
to add to their team from a big person.
Yeah, you go.
We'll tell you exactly what that means because it's deeper than just the player they've added. We'll discuss that next.
Go ahead and get you a touchdown. They're just handing them out in Jacksonville.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Clint is out today dealing with issues from Hurricane Nicholas. Anybody out there dealing with things, I know I didn't have power for a bit, man. Praying for you and hope everything is all right with you, and the damage is something that you can handle at least. So Clint's out today. Brandon Scott, SportsRadio610.com, is in today. And with that today, the Texans made a move. We know Vincent Taylor is out 6 to 8 weeks with ankle surgery. And so we were wondering what they were going to do with that. And they have they are expected to sign Jahlil Johnson off the Saints practice squad. If that name sounds familiar, Jahlil was in the Texans' entire training camp. And a guy you thought may potentially really make this team. In fact, he said he was shocked that he didn't make the team. This one, understandable, makes sense for the Texans. And adding a guy who knows their system, they know exactly what they're getting, it could probably fit in. Hell, he started the last preseason game against the Bucs. I remember I was at it most of the time. I wasn't drunk watching that game. But he started it. And so this is a guy that can fit right in. So you can understand this move from Nick Caserio and company.
Yeah, when they were getting down to the 53-man and we were trying to predict who's going to be on the team and who's not going to be on the team, Jahlil Johnson is actually a guy that I figured was going to make the team. I actually had DeMarcus Walker being the odd man out along the defensive line. And then later on in camp, later on in the preseason, he showed some things that kind of ensured him a spot on the team. But, I mean, Nick Caserio even said the week after, or I guess it was the day after cuts, whenever it was he first met with the media the day after cuts, was that there were 8 to 10 guys that could have made the team that didn't. And this is easily, like, Kiki QT is the one that I think was the headline we all thought about as being one of them guys. But Jahlil Johnson is for sure was one of those guys. So, like, when I'm thinking about training camp and some of the guys that stood out, you know, Jahlil Johnson was one of those. So you figure he can come in, step right in. You know, the interesting part about it is where does he factor into the rotation? Who do they end up asking more of between Johnson, Ross Blacklock, and the rookie Roy Lopez? Like, that's going to be really interesting to see how they navigate that.
See, Brandon, that's where it is. Where I said it's an understandable move for the Texans, but within this move, I wonder, is this something that I'm hoping doesn't mean what it looks like it could mean? Yep. And what it looks like it could mean, hopefully you're hoping, is this is just depth. This is depth. We're down a guy. We're going to add a guy that we feel like knows the system and can jump in and play. That's what you're hoping it is. What I'm hoping it's not, and I think Texans fans would hope it's not, isn't the thought of, hey, man, Roy Lopez is young and a rookie. This is his first – he's just played one game. But ultimately, we look at Ross Blacklock, and we don't feel like Ross Blacklock is ready to really step in and handle this. So we need to bring somebody else in that we think is at least starter-like. And that's what you – because to me, as soon as Vincent Taylor went down, my mindset went right to those young guys, especially Ross Blacklock. Hey, boss, you got 6 to 8 weeks to really show why you were a second-round pick, why you were a guy that people thinks, you know, could be a big impact to this team. The system fits your skill set better. The thing I'm thinking is when Vincent Taylor comes back, you should have put in enough work to make it a difficult decision for Lovie Smith and crew and say, hey, man, I don't know if we can take this kid off the field as much or change his role just because Vincent Taylor's coming back.
I would say even before that, like how they navigate it now, I think it's going to tell you a lot on what their belief is in Ross Blacklock and his readiness based on how many snaps he gets versus Jahlil Johnson, who they're bringing in, who is – been on somebody's practice squad. Like, here's your second round pick in his second season. Does he get more snaps? Does he get more priority over a guy who you cut initially and you just were able to get back off of somebody's practice squad? Like, what this essentially tells you about Jahlil Johnson is that there wasn't necessarily a high demand for his services. So if you can't beat out a guy like that in terms of snaps and in terms of production, that to me tells me all I need to know even before Vincent Taylor gets back, right? So I think that now that Vincent Taylor's not a factor in the immediacy, and now he's competing against Jahlil Johnson, again, a guy who was cut on somebody else's practice squad, and Roy Lopez, who's a rookie, you know, a much later round rookie. Okay, where do you fit into that? I think we can already bank on Ross Blacklock is not necessarily like this huge got to have him in there every play, difference maker type of player. But where does he fit?
You talking about right now? Or
right,
you talking about ever?
No, right now. Right now.
Oh, hell no.
Like,
hell,
we can accept that. But
Clint said yesterday he thinks Walker's going to be the starter.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, that's interesting. Well, and Walker's one of those guys that they can put inside and out. Like, I think that was another reason why he was probably favored over Jahlil Johnson, because he can go inside. He can also go outside, kind of like Charles Omenihu does. But, yeah, I mean, that is the huge part to me is, okay, where do you fit into the rotation? We already have accepted that you're not a star player on the defensive line, but I think we have seen some progress from what he was last year, getting pancaked and looking lost and not using his athleticism.
No, we've seen progress.
And maybe the system also didn't compliment him the way this one does. So he's better, but how much better, I think, is what we're trying to figure out. And if he's not much better than a guy, again, who was cut and was on somebody's practice squad, I think that's probably indicative of something that's not very good.
The sea is parted for him right now with this. For the next 6 to 8 weeks, like, he's got the next 6 to 8 weeks to not add himself onto the laundry pole of another Bill O'Brien blunder in the draft. Like, to me, in that time, and I understand that may be harsh, this is year two, but, like, this is as open right now, like, for you to be, like, the guy who's potentially the starter is out, there's a rookie behind you, a sixth-round rookie behind you that we like, but not to be as talented as you. First game, he had a couple of plays, at least two pressures. I think he forced the first interception with his pressure from Justin Reed. But this is it. This is it. Much like I think Clint was talking about this when Kiki had an opportunity when Anthony Miller went down to take. You would hope that this, to me, is about Ross Blacklock. And when I see Jahlil Johnson coming in, I wonder, is this just depth or is this a – we just don't trust Ross. Yeah. We don't trust Ross, and we need to bring.
I would say, based on what we've seen from Ross, I think it's depth. And that's like my initial read on it, my initial thought. If you look up and Jahlil Johnson's getting the snaps and Ross Blacklock's not making plays, based off of what we've seen so far, I think it's just depth. It's just insurance. And more so because you know that Vincent Taylor is going to be out for an extended period of time. I think we're going to end up seeing more Ross Blacklock. I think we'll see more of Roy Lopez than we see Jahlil Johnson. Like, I think Jahlil Johnson is going to be put at the back end of what that defensive line rotation is.
Be interesting to see how that is handled. Brandon Scott is in as Clint Sterner is out today dealing with effects with Hurricane Nicholas. And so he's out today. B. Scott is in. We didn't get a chance to do this, Tyler, yesterday. Somebody should send a gift basket, prayers to Taylor Lewan. I haven't seen somebody get their ass kicked like that repeatedly. I mean, that stopped being funny. And it just was sad. If you missed it, Tennessee Titans Taylor Lewan could not stop Chandler Jones to save his life. I mean, they kept putting him over there. He got help. He was holding. One time he held him, and he looked like he wrapped his legs around him with his arms and everything, and still he got to Ryan Tannehill. I mean, that was tough for Taylor Lewan.
I always wonder what's tougher as an athlete, if you are a pitcher on a mound who just can't locate to save your life, can't get out
Rick
of
any, Keel.
Or if you are in a football game and the guy that's lined up on the other side of you is just completely outmanning you and outmatching you, and there's nothing you can do about it. There's no way that you can stop this guy. I mean, he made Taylor Lewan look like his son or understudy or something like that. I mean, it was that bad. I was reading some pieces about the Titans and some of the reaction to the Titans loss, and they were questioning, where is all the play action? You know, my guy Arthur Smith is gone now, but he used to run a lot of play action. Where is that? That was part of the identity of the Titans offense and their success over the last couple of years. And I'm like, where are they supposed to have the time to fake a handoff or anything like that? Like, Chandler Jones was coming. You know, like, they didn't have time to be running a bunch of play action or do too much of anything.
Like, that looked like he got a call from a parent after that game. Taylor, hey, son, what was that?
Yeah, I was going to say, doesn't that man have a family?
No, I'm just saying, if that was my son that got his ass kicked like that, hey, son, what was that? Like,
where's your pride?
where yeah, we at, man?
It's not good.
Like, at some point, you got to just tackle him. I mean, at some point, you got to revert to cheating. Like, I got to low-blow him something. I mean, real cheating. I mean, not just the little bitty holding things that he was doing.
Hey, but was he dominating him so bad that Taylor Lewan realized that it wouldn't have been a good idea to start a fight with the guy? Like, if he's dominating you at the line of scrimmage like that,
you're right.
What if it's time to square up?
You're right. I would have resulted into trying to start a fight. I think at some point you got to get yourself ejected.
Yeah, but I don't think there's a need to get two separate ass kickings, like two different ones in different contexts.
You think Chandler would have got him in that one too?
More than likely.
More than likely, the way he was whipping his ass. My goodness alive.
Yeah.
All right, prayers. Somebody pour one out for Taylor Lewan. Man, he deserves it. All right. One Houston athlete is so delusional that karma paid his ass back. And paid his ass back big time. We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show. Sports Radio 610. Breaking news. Brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Protect your privacy online for free with DuckDuckGo. DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
All right. Breaking news. Our trusty producer, Tyler Milner. What do you have?
The Astros, they have reinstated Zach Greinke. We knew that was coming, but here's the breaking news. He is going to take the roster spot of Jake Sucks to Suck Odorizzi. He has been placed on the 10-day IL with right foot soreness.
All right, we're going to stop right here. One more time. Zach Greinke is back from the IL, and then Jake Odorizzi goes on the 10-day IL with right foot soreness. He came out of the game early. Tyler, that when you come on to read and tell us the breaking news, you just tell us the breaking news. You don't get to add in your add-ins. Now people are thinking, man, is that what somebody reported? That right-hander, Jake, It Sucks to Suck Odorizzi was placed on the 10. You just say Jake Odorizzi.
Well,
you don't have to go and put in your own personal spin. You're reporting the news. You just made yourself the news.
You're right. I need to be more serious, but he's pathetic.
No,
he's
pathetic.
No, you were serious. You were serious. You just editorialized the headline.
Everyone stop. Clint's out. Show's in. Play the breaking news sounder again. You're going to get another crack at this.
Okay, fine.
Play the – thank you. I'm going to do this again.
Sports Radio 610. Breaking news. Brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Protect your privacy online for free with DuckDuckGo. DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
All right, guys. We rewind here as our trusty producer, Tyler Milner, has it. There is breaking news. Let's hear it.
Well, we're on the show, Hughley.
Thank you.
This just coming across the desk. The Astros have reinstated right-handed
– Stop. You don't have to sound like a game show host. You could just speak. You could just speak your normal tone.
I'm just trying to do it right.
I want you to do it right. Okay. You don't have to sound like a game show.
See,
host.
I like the commitment to the to his whatever impersonation of a broadcaster's voice is.
Let's try it again. Go. Megan's listening this time.
All right.
This is why.
This just coming across the desk, Ron. The show, Hughley. The Astros have reinstated pitcher Zach Greinke from the IL. He takes the roster spot of one Jake Odorizzi, who was placed on the 10-day IL with right foot soreness. That is the latest from your Houston Astros. And back to you, show.
Is that what you think a broadcaster voice?
I've heard a lot worse. I worked in TV. I've heard some worse ones.
Right back at you. Oh, wow. Jake Odorizzi.
It sucks to suck.
The 10-day DL. And I just want to say this. Does this mean, if I say this, you could tell me? This is karma.
That's mean.
It's
very mean.
Well, I'm sorry. Last week when he pulled his pants down and showed his ass by delusions out of – I mean, he made Big Vernon Hargraves, look like a normal person when it comes to delusion of your skills. By the way, when Vern got that interception Sunday, no one could tell his ass a damn thing. Lovey knew it. No one could say anything. Vern has got a pick. Can't tell him nothing. Today.
I love that Vern is the barometer and the standard for delusion in sports now.
He is right now for me personally. And Jake Odorizzi showed his ass last week.
I think it's bullshit.
Yes, that being pulled. Oh, my God, you would pull me after 50-something pitches.
Crazy.
I just gave up the game, and everyone's hitting the ball hard off me now. I give up over 390 the third time around the order. I bet you. And then last night he kicked it off as he gets another shot in the rotation with 29 pitches in the first inning to kick it off. And I'm sure before this phantom injury that he thought, okay, that's
phantom injury.
Obviously he's on the IL. All right. Do I believe it 100%? No. But this phantom injury that he went on with, and now he's out on the 10-day IL. Karma. This is what happened. This is what happened when you cross guys like Dusty Baker and Tyler Milner and you piss them off. This is the thing that happened.
Tyler, you had something to do with this too? Some of your energy?
Oh, I'm done with Jake. Yeah. I'm done. You can't act like that. And as Show put it, show your ass in the media when you have done nothing for this organization. You've sucked. And then you want to whine and cry about getting pulled before you were most likely going to get shelled. It was already starting to occur. Okay. So go sit on the bench. And like last night, I guess if you pull yourself out in the second, you can't get pulled out in the fifth.
That's
so
right.
Good Tell job, Dave.
Let them know.
Good job.
Let them know. Good y'all, for you, Jake. This was karma.
It sucks to suck.
Y'all are in y'all feelings today, man.
I'm not in my feelings.
Y'all are in y'all feelings. Like
pure selfishness.
What is wrong with an athlete having supreme, even if yet irrational, confidence? Like, I think aside from being great athletes, that is part of what gets you there. That's the mentality. That's part of it. Like, he ain't got to be. I'm not saying he was right, because they were right to pull him out. Like, he was dead ass wrong. But I feel like he's right to have that attitude and that belief in himself, that at 66 pitches, 68 pitches, whatever it was in that last outing, that he could have finished the game or at least gone another inning. Like, I'm not mad at him for being mad. Like, I'm actually cool with him and Dusty Baker just being at odds, hashing it out, and just Dusty just straight up saying, look, we don't believe it in you in the third time. Most pitchers, period, even elite ones, get hit harder in the third time of the order.
Yeah,
so you are an even worse example of that. I'm cool with being at odds with it.
Much like Justin Britt. This is a carry-on. Know who the hell you are. And Jake, you are not a person who 4 hours after one of the biggest comeback wins of the season and everybody's fired up, that you are still at a damn 10 after you were fairly taken out.
Fairly, I think it's bullshit.
The move that was made, fairly made. No, you're not. You know who you are. You're not good enough to do that. And I'll say this right now. I hope that this injury is healed, but I don't need to see him again the rest of the way.
Yeah, so I'm not going to go that far.
I'm good on Jake Odorizzi.
I'm not going to go that far.
I'm out, right? You out?
Oh,
right,
I'm there. Fine
Next
with
line,
it. Yeah.
713-572-4610. You in or you out?
Milk that injury,
I don't
Jake.
Need to see him again.
No,
I can
man,
sit
you,
out there with his nice jacket.
No.
Out there in the bullpen and stuff. I don't need to see Jake again this year.
No, I'm not. We're not. The Astros are not paying him 11. They're not paying him $11 million a year for me to get in my feelings and not want him out there just because he threw
What's
a pity party.
What's the role you got?
Yeah, you can throw him in the pen. I think he's showing you, based off of what he can give you innings wise, that he could possibly be a setup man. A guy that you can have in the bullpen. I think some of the bullpen moves that they've made, while I understood them, and I think that they're better in the bullpen, I think having Jake Odorizzi there is a viable possibility. I don't like him in the rotation in the postseason necessarily, but I'm not to the point of this guy is irredeemable. I mean, if we're honest about it, he's got a 4.28 ERA over 21 games, but like his last, let's call it six starts before he got pulled yesterday, 2.9 ERA and a 2-1 record over the last six starts. Like he has been a lot better, especially since the changing in the catching roles. Like he was exclusively pitching to Jason Castro earlier in the season. The last six starts or so, he's been with Martin Maldonado. It seems to have made a difference. He's been better. I don't know if it's necessarily him or Maldonado that's been the difference, but he has been better lately, and I think there could be a role for him despite his delusion and his thought that he could have gone the third time through the order. So I'm not at the point, just because he threw a hissy fit, that I don't ever want to see him again. They got way worse pitchers on this roster than Jake Odorizzi. I think he can do a lot worse. And, again, you're paying the man $11 million a year.
I don't care about them.
I feel like if you can get something out of him, you get something out of.
I don't want to do that. Listen, it's over for me with Jake. There's nobody in the rotation. Hell, not just the postseason. Right now, Zach Greinke's back.
Just sit him down.
Zach Greinke's back. You got a 5-man rotation. I'm not taking any one of them out for. for him. And then in the bullpen, there's like six or seven guys that I would roll through before I got to him. And so
really
for me, yes, for me, there is a, he is a professional jacket wearer. Like, you know, you see in the postseason, those guys with the jackets and sunflower seeds and big gum.
They still like do. They still wear the jackets.
Yeah.
I don't see them as much.
Yeah. I'd see when they go maybe to the East Coast, like they play Chicago, they play in the first round of the divisional series of the playoffs, go to Chicago. It's a little cold, him in the bullpen with a jacket.
Yeah.
Coat jacket. That's it. That's what I need from Jake.
It sucks to suck.
I'm out.
Yeah, no, I think he can have a role.
Good.
I think he can have a role.
Oh, that's a role. Jacket wearer.
So is it because he spoke out of turn, or is it because he sucks, or is it both? What is the actual reason why?
It's the combination of
it. It's all of both.
You can't suck and do that.
He's let me know where he is on this team. Nah, man, in the fifth inning, biggest comeback of the game. Alex Bregman's back. He hits a two-run bomb. They pull them from the dead after you shut them down there, send them down there. And then 4 hours later, post game.
Yeah.
Well, you still at a 10.
Yeah, I love it.
Oh, no, man. Yeah, I love it.
I'm the guy that's writing blogs after those press conferences, so I'm here for it. I want all the chaos, all the insanity.
Is it great content for us?
Yep.
Does it entertain me to see Tyler lose it?
Yeah.
And me a little bit? Sure.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for. I'm not here for any of the other stuff.
I'm out.
You just made the list.
Give me the entertainment.
That's what happens. He made the list. You see that? You hear that? It's been a while. That's what happens when you go across Dusty Baker and you go and be selfish as hell.
You read my face?
You read his face? Selfish as hell after a game, after they spent their hard-earned time to bring them back. Bregman and Correa. Walk-offs and game tires. 4 hours later, you mad because you've just been getting hit around the park. Give up almost 400. People are hitting almost 400 off your ass the third time around.
It sucks. You're mad
that they had the audacity to take your ass out.
You just made the list.
Because when it happens to Jake, it comes in bunches. Jake gives up a run, and then hits come, and they start – to roll. You got to stop Jake. And that's what happens. You happens, your ass made the list.
You just made the list.
Does it help you? Does it do anything for you at all that he gave a long apology on the notes app after the fact?
No.
He did. I mean, no, he apologize.
He told me his true feelings.
You're not big on redemption and
I'm big on redemption.
It seems like.
Big on it.
Jake's apology felt like one of those fake apologies. It's like, I'm sorry, I'm just competitive.
I'm just saying, I'd have felt different if it happened if he'd have pitched and he spoke to the mirror right after. He's been stewing for 4.5 hours. I keep adding time onto this, but he's been stewing 4 hours or 45 minutes at least. He sat over there just stewing.
He spoke, and he said it with his chest. He said what he meant to say.
Just because you say it with your chest doesn't mean stupid counts. I'm good. I don't need to see Jake again. Yeah. This year.
Yeah, and on the point of they got six guys in the bullpen that are better, you are outside of your mind.
Not outside of anything.
You are outside. I want to know what's in that cup over there that you got. I would list them,
but at this point in time, I don't feel like it. Just say that right now.
Because they don't exist.
They exist. One person. Can I say this? One person that I think is better than him that I would put in prior to him. He pitched last night, 6 strikeouts, 1 walk. In almost 3 innings. I really think they've damn near ruined Christian Javier.
Missed by 2 feet.
Missed by 2 feet, Christian Javier. What they've done with him, taking him out of the rotation without a real game plan for him in the bullpen, I think they have potentially ruined him. I hope he comes back next year because now he doesn't really know what his role is. It's not defined. He's just not a reliever. I don't think they should have never taken him out. But even if he was going to be a reliever, have a more designated role for him. And now he's pitching he may go 6-7 days without pitching. He didn't get no rhythm or anything. I absolutely hate what they've done with Christian Javier.
Well, it seemed like they had an idea what they wanted to do with him in the beginning because they were basically piggybacking him with Odorizzi because of the health issue and Odorizzi being behind. But we just didn't like the plan. And now it seems like I don't know exactly what happened to it. You know, like you said, he's here and then he's not. And then you're like, oh, yeah, Christian Javier is on the team. But I mean, his biggest issue is that he just hasn't been able to throw strikes. I mean, the guy.
But is it fair to say what comes with that is not enough usage, not being out there a lot?
Probably.
Like, this is a guy who's a starter, and literally, like, he pitched yesterday. How many pitches did he throw? Like 40 or 50 something pitches. That might shut him down for 4 to 5 days, and you may not see him again. And then the next time he comes out, it'll be some piggyback thing. And now Jake's going to be out of the rotation, who was, you know, the guaranteed piggyback guy because Jake can't throw more than 38 pitches. And now who knows how often he's going to be used?
Well, a couple of things there, right? He was the odd man out in the rotation when they ended up having more starters than what they needed.
Which Jake should have been then.
Well, at the time.
And the only reason why he was is because you're paying him $11 million.
Right, and I mean, to be fair, he is the more established player. Like, if we knew now.
But Christian was pitching
better. But if we knew then what we know now. Well, yeah, he was pitching better at the time, but they signed Jake Odorizzi for a reason. Like, if we knew then what we know now, we probably would say that. But at the time, you signed Jake Odorizzi to be a starter. Christian Javier wasn't necessarily an established starter and a guy that you felt like could maybe be that later. And also, he had an issue of going deep into games. And what was the issue with the Astros at the time? The bullpen and going deep into needing their starters to go deep into games, which Christian Javier was not a guy who could do that at the time. So, but back to your point about not having a defined role for him in the bullpen, that's where that factors in. Why didn't they have a better plan for him to get him kind of ramped up and to maybe get his pitch count up a little bit better? And you know, it seems like a much of a down year for Christian Javier considering how we viewed him last year and in the beginning of the season.
In the beginning of the season. And, yeah. I don't even know how fair the deal of going late into games. I mean, hell, he's going to ramp up to it. I mean, one of his last starts, he went 7 innings.
Well, you remember what the bullpen was like at that time,
no,
right?
So the bullpen, that was it, because me and Clint would have our conversations about that. Like, at the time, him and Greinke were your two best pitchers at the time. Lance was struggling at the beginning. Like, they were your two best pitchers. All right, if you're going to send him down, he's got to have a defined role. His defined role can't be, hey, every 6 days, we may or may pitch him. He may piggyback off of one of the starters. Well,
like, that was the role, though. It was to piggyback originally off of Jake Odorizzi. They just didn't have a defined transition from after they ramped up both of the guys, or after Jake Odorizzi became sort of a fixture into the rotation. Then what do you do with Christian Javier? Like, we asked Dusty Baker about this over time. Like, how do you envision using Christian Javier in the future after you finish this experiment with, you know, having six starters and having Javier piggyback off of Jake Odorizzi? Like, after that, there didn't seem to be a good enough transition for what they were going to do with Javier on top of his issue with locating pitches. I think it's partly not having a good enough or solid enough plan for Javier, and also partly not a performance issue straight up from Javier himself.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a lot there with Christian Javier, and I think they have really, really struggled there. We'll talk about that. News, the Astros get a big piece. Maybe their game one starter back on the team. And the Texans make a move that makes a lot of sense but could mean a lot for other players on this team. We'll discuss all that coming up next.
I think it's bullshit.